This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What do we want, clones, when we're craving protein or we need some more energy? I'll tell you what we don't want. Not a bar, not a sugary snack, or an energy drink. No, we want beef. Pure and simple. So where's the beef? It's in a package of Old Trapper beef jerky. Old Trapper is not your old man's jerky. It's not shriveled, dry, and tasteless. Old Trapper beef jerky is made from lean strips of steak and quality spices that are smoked over a real wood fire. It's tender. It's tasty. It's not tough. And why is it so good? Because Old Trapper is a 50-year-old family business. They're known for their relentless commitment to quality. I know these family members. I've spoken to them. This means everything to the family. They take their smoked beef extremely seriously, and you can taste it in every single bite. Old Trapper is packed with protein. It comes in four amazing flavors to satisfy all your cravings. Quality smoked meat at its finest, which goes with you wherever you go, to the game, to the gym, to the beach, anywhere at all. So look for Old Trapper in the Clearview bag. You can see the quality you're buying. Look for it in major retail stores near you. And if you don't see it, just ask for it by name, because no other jerky compares. None come close. Old Trapper, what's your beef?
I didn't even have hiking shoes. Like, the first time we went, I went as like, I was literally had some Air Force Ones or some J's to figure out which one I use.
Right.
I was never a hiker. I'm just be honest, man. I'm a black dude with tattoos from the inner city of LA, 126 in Avalon, bro. Like, we don't hike. But damn it, I'm a hiking fool right now.
Hey, what's cracking? Welcome to episode number 144 of the Jim Rohn Podcast. As always, I am pumped that you're here and making the side hustle part of your listening routine. This week, my guest is the one and only Steve Smith Sr. Now, I'm going to shoot you straight. I am not going to lie. This conversation that you're about to hear is not the conversation you think that you're going to hear. It's better, much better. My man is a five-time Pro Bowler, a single-season receptions leader, a comeback player of the year, and an all-time Carolina Panther great. And if I'm being truly real, he is one of my all-time favorite athletes. This is an amazing conversation, and there's not a whole lot of football in it. Without giving any of it away, I guarantee, though, you will love it. Let's get right to it. Episode 144 of the Jim Rohn Podcast is coming at you right now. So, Steve, you and I have been talking for so many years, but it's been a minute or so. So, first things first, how are you and those around you doing right now during such unusual and challenging time?
Man, that's a loaded question. Health-wise, we're excellent. I think psychologically, like everyone else, you know, we're trying to be optimistic. But, you know, this new normal is definitely requiring a lot of adjustments, virtually learning and all of that stuff, man. It's different. How about that? Different.
Yeah, how about that? It is different, and the virtual learning certainly is different. Like, for instance, how about your work life and your shows? I mean, for instance, it's an adjustment for folks to work remotely or from the home. Your work, though, is a little bit different. What's it like to do shows from your home and not in the studio or at the stadium?
We started back, and I really didn't get it that much. And then one of my boys goes to a small private school, so they're doing in-school learning, face-to-face. He has to wear a mask all day. And I really didn't get it. He was excited to go back, so he went back. Now, you know, what's tough sometimes is when you're on air, and it's really hard to transition from maybe an hour or so. I was laying in bed with my wife, sleeping, snoring, And then I get up and I walk into my office, turn on the lights, turn on the home cam, and I'm doing work. And another 10 feet over, my wife is cooking breakfast for the kids, and I can smell it. You know, it's kind of different. And sometimes it's hard to adjust, and it doesn't feel like I'm really working, because I was literally laying down 25, 30 steps from where I'm working right now. You know, it's just awkward.
It really is awkward, and it's different. Like, there's this level of intensity, right? Like, when you go to work, you go to work. But when you go to work 25 feet from where you were just sleeping, it is different. And then, Steve, when you translate that to, like, the guys on the field, so now they're playing, and they're playing actual games, and they can't feed off the energy of the fans. Like, what do you make of the product that you have seen so far? And as a player, what would that have been like for you to deal with no fans in the stands?
Well, you know, if you're playing, you're going to say, oh, it doesn't matter. But watching it, even just doing TV, it is different. If, you know, these guys, at times, you can't feel the momentum change, right? You don't know. And guys have to be self-motivated. And I was a self-motivated person, but to literally practicing is one thing. But you know, when you get dressed up and you drive to the stadium to play a football game against an opponent, there's just a different mindset. But when you have that energy from the fans, it's not there. You're literally, it's a glamorized practice to some degree, the way it feels. Now, I'm not saying it is. Now, depending on which teams you're watching, those fans will disagree. But it is very different, and I hate this. I don't mean to sound mean, but it's one of those things. I think with everything going on, we all have said, oh, when nothing's really on the line, I'll do this, I'll do that. But now we're having to do it, and I think you really are starting to appreciate, one, fans. You're appreciating social interaction, right? All the things that we kind of took for granted, I think it is heightened to where people are starving to have things back to normal to some degree. People are desperate because it's what you say is be careful what you wish for. And now we're all living in loneliness or living with isolation or living with staying at home or living with the person that you have maybe not connected with for many years. And then all of a sudden you're stuck at home in the lockdown. And now you don't have work or travel to distract you. Now you have to deal with that. And I think for me personally, I have really appreciated, and my family, we have grown closer and really learned some things that I really appreciate. I mean, me and my wife for the last 7 or 8 months have worked side by side more in the last 6 months than we have in the last 20 years we've been married.
And so what's that been like?
It's been cool, right? We've been doing some things that I think the normal lifestyle, we would like be irritated with each other. I'm not doing it the way she wants. She's not doing it the way I'm doing it. But we've literally adapted, and, you know, we just kind of, it's actually, I hate to say it this way, but it's kind of cute. It's been really cool to just kind of do some of those things. And we're really appreciating it to the point of where when things go back to normal, I'm not going to sit on the sideline and say, well, I really want to do this. I've told her, and she's told me, we're going to do it. Like, I think we're going to rent an RV, hopefully in May when school is up, and just, like, go on an RV tour for a month and just kind of just say, screw it. Let's go see some of the places. Let's go to Moab. Let's go to Utah, Zion, National Park, Yellowstone, to see some of these places that we've kind of procrastinated and said we'll get to it. We know now there might not be a get to it again. So we're going to do it, and we're going to fly out to hopefully L.A., and then we're going to rent an RV, and we're just going to hit the road, man, for a month and see how it goes and figure it out. Have I ever drove an RV? Hell no, I've never drove an RV, but you know what? I'd rather figure it out and learn and say we did it and experience and have those memories than to keep saying I woulda, shoulda, coulda. And then I never do it.
Man, that is the truth, isn't it? Like, I've had the same kind of conversations with my wife and with myself about, man, I really do appreciate everything. I really do appreciate everything. But it's such bullshit. Like, I think that I do, or I thought that I did, but it wasn't until we went through something like this. So, like, to your point, Steve, I don't want to say this is a good thing, but I know for a fact I could never, ever have the perspective that I have right now about my life and those things around me had I not gone through something like this. You know what I mean? Like, I would never get leverage on myself or see things the way that I see things had we not gone through this. Now, has it gotten to the point where I would get into an RV and drive across the country? Man, my wife would love that. I don't know about that, man. I don't know that I have that perspective. But maybe another month or two like this, and I might.
See, I say the same thing. Like, before this, I was like, man, I would never do that. Like, be stuck driving in a car with the fam. And you know what? I think it'll be cool because there's so many cool things out there that we chop it up to excitement and adventures, going to Magic Mountain, you know, going to Disneyland, Disney World, going to Universal. There's so many natural, you know, things out there that you can learn just as much. Like, I was never a hiker. I'm just be honest, man. I'm a black dude with tattoos from the inner city of L.A., 126 in Avalon, bro. Like, we don't hike. But damn it, I'm a hiking fool right now because I enjoy it. We going to the apple orchards, going, you know, really, like, you know, if a beach doesn't have waves, I don't consider it a beach. Well, a lot of the beaches here in South and North Carolina don't have real waves. Right. But we drove to the beach 4 hours to Kiowa. And you know what we did? Absolutely nothing. We played on the beach, socially distanced. Me, my three boys, my daughter, she couldn't because she's working. And we literally was just at the beach throwing a frisbee. My son, we bought a skim board. We were riding bikes. And then I had my six-year-old. He had a pedal, you know, he had the seat and the pedals. But he really wasn't pedaling, but it made him seem like it. We did that. And I just had a blast. And you know what we did? Nothing. We literally just made sandcastles, buried each other in the sand, played frisbee, and we just did simple things, not complicated things. And it's been some of the best memories.
Dude, this is an incredible conversation, and you and I have had a lot of amazing conversations over the years. I got to get you to go back to, quote, you being a hiking ass fool. Now, Steve, you, and I love when you talk L.A. I love to hear you talk about Magic Mountain, Universal, you know, Disneyland's not exactly L.A., but I kind of have a sense of how you came up because I know where you grew up. I grew up in the 818, so when you and I are both, quote, from L.A., we're not both really from L.A., but I'm like you. I've never had any need or any interest in hiking at all. Like, I don't throw the weights around a lot, but a little bit, but I'll get down with cardio. Like, I like being inside the gym, knocking out, getting it done, but I didn't need to be outside. Luckily, though, dude, lately, I've been all about the hike, and I've been fascinated by the hike, and I want to be outside. How did you turn into a hiking-ass fool? Like, what do you get out of that?
Man, really what I get out of it is we have a Belgian Malinois, so we have a short-haired, it's a bomb-sniffing dog, right? It's fully trained, and she loves the water. And we've been going on hikes because just getting out, you know, socially distancing and getting away from people. So we just started, you know, my wife is like, hey, let's go hiking. And I'm like, man, I ain't trying to I'm Steve Smith. I ain't trying to hike, right? I didn't even have hiking shoes. Like, the first time we went, I went as, like, I didn't mess them up. I was literally had some Air Force Ones or some J's to figure out which one I used, right? And so I'm sitting there, and I throw on some Air Force Ones, and I'm walking around, and I realize, like, man, I'm walking around, and I'm a little out of breath. like the altitude, and the dog is sniffing around and she's like going bananas because all of the different scents. And I was really enjoying it, just the clean air, the fresh water, just seeing all the animals. It was really enlightening to me because it was one of those things where they say, don't knock it till you try it. But I knocked it all the time because I never tried it. And I was just being stereotyped. I'm like, man, brothers don't hike, right? Especially brothers who play football in the league for 16 years. And then I started to see, bro, I've been missing out. And then seeing all the different places to hike and all the different things that you can see, it really opened my eyes because, you know, sitting in the house playing video games, playing golf, like that's the closest nature I'm going to see is when I go play golf. And then you start seeing what this stuff offers. And I really realized how I was selling things short. And I've been enjoying it. And then I started on a hike or running. I started to realize, well, you know, if you're going to do it for 20, 30 minutes or an hour, you know, you got to keep your mind idle. So then I started listening to podcasts. And that turned into, you know, starting my own podcast. And so it's just really, it just kind of opened my mind up to really how closed-minded I really was. Yet I consider my palate of the world a little bit more than I thought it was. And I started to really see I was selling myself short and selling what all this other stuff has to offer that you don't have to pay for. You don't have to pay maybe a park fee, but you pay $5 to come into the park and go hike. But man, the free adventure that's out there and the things you get to see. We were on a hike and we saw an owl in the middle of the day. Bro, you talking about a kid? I was like, wow, is that an owl? And so it was me, my son Boston, my son Deuce, and my wife. And we were looking at the owl like it was an eagle or something, like just something abnormal. And it just was awesome. Then my wife got this app that really you can tell what the species of flower it is. So now we're walking around like, what kind of flower is that? What kind of weed is that? What is that? And you just start to see little cool things that you ain't seeing it in the house. Right? And so which led us to, my wife does a box garden now that she's growing her own celery and carrots. And it's just been remarkable, man, what it has done for us psychologically and mentally, that it's really made us really question, what do we value anymore? Or what's important to us? And obviously things, but then now it's, you know, learning how to do things on our own and getting our hands dirty. And just like me and my son did we built a birdhouse and we have a bird feeder, just like little stuff like that is super cool.
89, man. I don't even know you anymore. Dude, I'm kidding, man. This is amazing. So last week is now in the books, so now is the time to review the tape and get ready for this week, and there is no better place to get in on all the action than with DraftKings, the leader in one-day fantasy sports. To add to this week's excitement, DraftKings has got a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes that are up for grabs right now. If you have not tried DraftKings, head to the App Store right now because you do not want to miss out on this. Draft your lineup. Feel the sweat like never before. Every single run, pass, and catch means more with DraftKings. It's simple. You pick your lineup, you stay under the salary cap, and then see how your team stacks up against the competition. Nothing adds to the excitement of watching the game quite like having a shot at millions of dollars in prizes. DraftKings has paid out billions of dollars, I said billions with a B, to winners since 2012, so they know a thing or two about cold hard cash. Download the DraftKings app right now, use the code ROME, and for a limited time only, new users get a free shot at millions of dollars in prizes this week. Do not miss out on the Week 3 action. Enter code ROME, get a free shot at millions of bucks in prizes with your first deposit. Again, and codename Rome, R-O-M-E, only at DraftKings. Make it rain. Minimum $5 deposit required. Eligibility restrictions do apply. See DraftKings.com for details. This is absolutely incredible. And like, to think, dude, what if you did not leave the house? What if you did not take that first hike? What if you were so caught in your own head that you're like, hey, man, I'm Steve freaking Smith Sr. I don't hike, man. What if somebody sees me? Look at the, like, all the possibilities and the way the world has opened up. I love that line you just said about, I had no idea how closed-minded I was until I opened up my mind to these things. And part of this thing about you started to listen to podcasts. Podcasts are funny, right? You and I are talking on a podcast right now, and people either know everything about podcasts or they know nothing about podcasts. When you started to hike, and one more thing, man, you got my mind. I'm just popping now. The thing about hiking, what I've noticed, when I'm indoors, Steve, and I'm like, if I'm knocking out a 45-minute session on my Peloton, all I'm thinking about is, how do I get through the next 10 minutes? How do I finish this thing? Yep. But when I'm hiking, dude, I have thoughts, like deep thoughts, good thoughts, creative thoughts. Isn't the mind is so different when you're out and you're hiking? Even if you run a little bit, it's much different, isn't it?
Man, I mean, that's so I started listening to podcasts. I was listening I hated podcasts. I thought they were stupid, right? Because depending on what type of podcast you listen to, it can really turn you off to it. And then I was listening to Hot Boxing with Mike Tyson. Right. And I just heard the conversation he was having with like LL Cool J and Mike Epps. And I was just entrenched where how their paths have crossed in the correctional facility in Indiana. And then my agent and some of my folks have been pushing me to do a podcast. And I was like, man, I think they're stupid. I'm not doing it. And then they said, all right, you do great sit down interviews. What if you started doing a podcast about interviewing people? So I was like, all right. So we started formulating what's the concept. And my concept for my podcast is literally we do a long version of a sit-down interview, except we're going to ask you the stuff that we want to know, which is, let's say hypothetically, I was going to have you on my podcast because I'm giving you an invite today. On Cut to a Podcast, we would literally go down and I'll ask you, we have a icebreaker. So one of the icebreakers would be, if you had a magical wand, what would you change and why? What's the favorite? What is your childhood? What's the color of your childhood room? Right? If you can lose a sense, you know, what would you lose? Would you rather lose your taste, your eyesight, your hearing? And then we ask questions. I'll ask you a question like, where are you from? And what do you, you know, where's your hometown? And then how did your hometown shape you? You know, to how you see the world today. And just off those questions, one, I don't know how your hometown, you know, what your hometown, what that experience shaped your vision of how you see the world today. And so basically my podcast is really about the person inside the jersey. Like I know you, Michael Jordan, the shooter three, but I want to know, what was Michael Jordan thinking when he scored the 60 points? Don't tell me I was thinking I want to beat this team. I want to know, like, was his life in shambles? Because sometimes I personally know some of my best games, bro, I was jacked up in the head. I was lonely. I was depressed. Or I was dealing with, like, one time, you know, my mom was diagnosed with diabetes at 30-something, you know, 40 years old, type 2. You know, just a lot of little things. My grandfather in 2008, and I went to his funeral, and the next weekend or Monday night, I'm planning a football game, broken, right? And just all of those things where I try to, like how I go on a hike, I try to figure out, like, how did they name that tree? Where did it originate from? That's what I'm doing with my podcast and just kind of looking at things holistically, the way I kind of COVID has given me this opportunity to be appreciative of not just the meal, but the person who's prepared that meal. And then also possibly the farmers who get up every morning and scoop up the fertilizer and who, you know, slaughter the animals for us to eat every single day. But we don't get that process when we're going through the now in this COVID world, when we're going through this, to the supermarket with our mask on, we don't see what these farmers have done to get that beef or chicken or whatever you want in that plastic.
See, the thing is this, your podcast is called Cut to It Podcast. And I was going to say to you, and you've actually got me started on this conversation. I was going to say, in a landscape, man, there's a million podcasts. There's 10 million podcasts or 8 billion podcasts. And there's always this thing about, how are you different? How are you going to cut through the clutter? Part of the answer is you're different because you're different. You are who you are. But still, you need some sort of formula that makes it different. And I think you're onto that. The other thing, Steve, you have going for you is you're naturally very curious. Like, you want to know what makes people tick. You want to know what makes things work. I've always talked to you about that. I could ask you again about you and the kind of fuel you run on. You already understand this. Like, do you have a co-host for the podcast? And who are the type of people you want to talk to on your podcast?
So my co-host is actually one of my best friends, Gerard Littlejohn, who also runs my foundation. So we work hand in hand. So our banter is really good because we make fun of each other. We talk, but we don't isolate the viewer to where there's so much. There's so many conversations that you don't follow. But then some of our viewers that we have interviewed so far. Now, here's a hint. You know me, and I'm a worker bee. We've already got about 14 interviews already dialed up, sealed, done. Today we dropped Frank Kaminsky, right? Talked about Frank Kaminsky of how when he scored that 41, when he was with Wisconsin, he scored 41 points. But I'm like, bro, you're averaging 3.5 points a game. How do you go from 3.5 points a game to 41 points? Right. And, you know, talking about that, how his divorce with his parents, the divorce and his parents, how basketball actually kept their family together through the divorce, meaning his dad and mom disliked each other so much, but yet basketball was his safe haven. Basketball was the only place that he can actually feel comfortable. There was no chaos going on. We've talked to Chase Elliott. We talked to Michael Vick. We've talked to LaDainian Tomlinson. We've talked to William Byron, NASCAR. We're slotted to talk to some tennis players. We've talked to Harold Varner, a golfer. So football, basketball, tennis, golf, NASCAR. And we just are talking to these individuals, but we're not talking to them. We're talking a little bit about the sport, but we're talking about who they are as people, right? What makes them tick? What did they go through? We talked to some soccer players. I talked to a soccer player who actually is from Ghana, and his grandfather was a head of a tribe. And his head of a tribe, he had five wives. And out of those five wives, he produced 33 children. Bro, you don't get that from somebody by asking them, what was it like to score a goal? You ask them, like, where are you from? How did your family shape and mold you? Well, if your family is born and raised in Ghana, and your mother is the fourth child, her mom was the fourth wife out of five. That's a hell of a story.
Crazy. Right?
But we don't generally ask those questions because why? We're too busy trying to ask them the low hanging fruit. What is it like to be an NFL football player? How about what is it? How was it for you to get to become a football player? What did you learn about yourself? What failures did you have? Right? We talked to Michael Vick. We talked to him about what he experienced coming out of jail and his process going to jail. Right? We're talking to folks, Malcolm Jenkins. Talked to Malcolm, and that dropped September 15th. We talked to The Miz, who's a WWE superstar. We talked to Michael Jenkins, and he explained to us how he got to Ohio State as a football player because his family was visiting his aunt in Ohio, and his father and mother are old school, so they say, you're not just going to be in the house playing video games, you got to be active. They take him to the Ohio State, pay for him to go to the summer camp, the football camp. They discover him. Next thing you know, he's over there being coached by Mel Tucker, and they offered him a scholarship being from New Jersey. No one asked those questions. So I'm literally asking the questions that people feel unimportant or they don't really feel like they want to ask. Because talk radio, and you know this, talk radio doesn't care about the human being. They just want to know who should they start on their fantasy team, why is this player playing good or bad, and if he's a bum, get him out of here. If he's good, re-sign him and lock him in.
Steve, think about the two dumbest things ever. The last two things you were ever going to do in your life, hike and host a podcast. Mm-hmm. And look at what those two things have done already. You know, when you talk about the individual, for instance, when you went into Carolina's Ring of Honor, Michael Irvin asked you, man, that's amazing. And he knows what it's like because he went into the Cowboy Ring of Honor. And he asked mm-hmm. you about that. And your response to him was, quote, I wasn't supposed to be here. I wasn't supposed to make the league. I wasn't supposed to be on TV. I wasn't supposed to make it past 21. End of quote. Yet all of those things, in fact, did happen to you. Like, what was the other life you were talking about? What was supposed to happen to you?
Well, what was supposed to happen to me is this. I'll tell you this story, and it'll make sense when I say it. I remember my education was stifled in the fourth grade. There was a teacher who retired. He had health issues and retired. And in the fourth grade, I had five teachers that filled in as substitutes. And because of that, I fell behind so bad. We actually moved from that district and moved up in the world. We got out of an apartment. We moved into, we were living on 79th. I was going to McKinley Avenue Elementary, 79th and Avalon. We moved up in the world to Van Ness and to 54th and Slauson. 54th and Van Ness, and then I got to a school, finished my school in Angeles Mesa, and then I got bussed out to Paul Revere. In the ninth grade, my test scores were so bad, I was in the English class. And in that English class, the teacher says this, if anyone in here has a problem with being in a remedial English, say something. I had no idea what remedial English was, so I didn't say anything. Hmm. My mom didn't say anything, and I remained in remedial English. I always thought I was stupid, and then I was dumb. Because I wasn't dumb, I was at a disadvantage because in the fourth grade, I had five teachers who didn't teach a squat. We had substitutes, and so I fell behind. Now, I didn't fall behind because I was a dumbass or I chose not to learn. I fell behind because the system didn't have an answer to something that a plan that just came out of the blue. And because of that, that impacted me in a way that I didn't realize. And so because of that, I always felt I was dumb. Now, here's the thing. At ninth grade, I had a sixth grade reading level. And I struggled. But because my mom realized that, we had some programs, and I ended up going to the Urban League, and the Urban League got me back up to being able to read at my reading level, where I caught up, but it took me about 2.5 years. So that means when I was a junior in high school, I was just catching up to where I should be. And then it also made me feel very insecure, so I was very quiet. When I did have to read out loud, I read very low. When I spoke, I always would mumble. And then it didn't help that I already had a stuttering problem, a speech problem, because of my tongue and the way my mind worked. My mind was moving faster than my mouth can keep up. And so even to this day, I still at times I have to be very careful on some words. I have to slow my mind down. And if you watch me on TV, there are times where you can see I'm making faces with my mouth because I have to get my tongue out of the way to be able to articulate and say words. And so that's one of the things that I had to deal with. The difference is I had people, and my mom was smart enough to have resources to figure out how to fix it. But, bro, I was I was behind the eight ball, right? And so that's what I mean. That's where I'm from, meaning I had some things in my life that not everybody overcomes. Not everybody becomes a podcast host. Not everybody plays in the NFL. Some of these people quit. Some of these people kill themselves. Some of these people commit murder. Some of these people fall in a poverty level. Like, example, during this process of virtual learning, most kids who are behind in poverty level or below the poverty level, usually they call it the summer layoff. Generally, if in this pandemic, they have now shorted themselves for a lifetime of earnings for low-income students who lack resources. Usually for the three months of school, it's minus 4% that they have impacted their lifetime earning. With this COVID now 6 months of virtual learning, 7% they have lowered their lifetime ability to earn income because of what's going on. And that's some of the stuff that I'm talking about that one, my foundation works with, and we try to help. But also something I know for a fact because I lived it. I experienced it.
Let me drop a stat on you. Did you know that a fire department responds to a fire every 24 seconds? Well, now that you know that, know this. October is Fire Prevention Month, which means that is right around the corner. And we have teamed up with First Alert. It's the most trusted brand in fire safety to help you be prepared for the unexpected and review some key safety tips. Smoke and carbon monoxide alarms help provide an early warning in the event of a home emergency. Having enough First Alert smoke and carbon monoxide alarms is one of the best things that you can do for your home and for your family. You need to install alarms on every level and in every bedroom of your home. Once the alarms are installed, it's important then to maintain them by testing them with regularity. And remember, alarms do not last forever, and they need to be replaced at least every 10 years. I mean, after all, they are on duty 24/7. If you can't remember the last time you replaced your alarm, it is best to replace that unit completely. For a replacement option, my favorite, far and away, is First Alert's combination smoke and carbon monoxide alarm with a 10-year sealed battery. The alarm provides 2-in-1 protection against smoke and carbon monoxide, and I don't have to worry about changing batteries for a decade. Also, while spending extra time at home, and if you are cooking more, it is so important to have a fire extinguisher within reach and to know how to use it. Unattended cooking is the number one cause of residential fires, so have a fire extinguisher within reach and know how to use it in the event that a fire does break out. And lastly, take the time to discuss home safety with your family. Plan and practice an escape route. Remember to practice it at least twice a year. And for more information on fire safety products, safety tips, and educational activities that you can do at home with your family, visit firstalert.com/fireprevention month. firstalert.com/fireprevention month. Not to mention, Steve, it's an amazing story you tell. And as much as I know about you and your background, I did not know all of that. And everything you had gone through and come through, not to mention the kids, that this is oftentimes where they get that meal or where they get several meals, but they don't get that at home. And all of a sudden they're not going to school. You know, it kind of goes back to, and I've talked to you about this in the past, but I've always thought, and I've done this for decades, and I've talked to high achievers, both in and out of sports, and I still don't really fully know the answer. And people kind of always answer it the same way, but I keep asking the question, hoping to get that one aha moment or that one answer. But I've interviewed.
Well, you're about to get it, depending on what you ask me, because I think I know the answer.
Okay, good, because I think I know I need the answer, and I'm still looking. I've interviewed athletes and achievers for decades, and I'm always fascinated by this. Fuel. Like, where does the fuel come from? Is it nature, or is it nurture? Were you wired that way? Were you born that way, or is it a result of how you came up and what you experienced? I frankly have always thought that you're running on a different sort of fuel, and if you could bottle that, I'd pay anything for it. What about it? Like, what makes you go the way you go, work as hard as you work, care as much as you care, and have that kind of pride? Did you come out that way, or is it because of how you came up?
So I believe that, you know, I'm a believer. I believe that God put in me and God put in everyone something uniquely different. And I think how we interact and how and what we bump up against either increases that, decreases it, right? If you, because you know you have kids, each one of your kids is wired differently, and how you respond can help them or hurt them. Is that not true?
Yes, that is true. Absolutely,
okay, so
that's true.
Right? So you can be nurtured in the right way and still be a screw up. You can be nurtured completely wrong and become the president. Right? So I was built to be a worker bee. And in that, I had some things happen to me that squashed me. And I had some things in me that built some anger that I cannot depend on other people. And then you add survivor's guilt. What do I mean by that is, I grew up on 126 in Avalon. We were on food stamps. We were dirt poor. There is no way in Hades that I am going to live the rest of my days with what I've been given and just live in a gated community and say, bump everybody else, and that's not my problem. Because if a stranger did not give money to the University of Utah and they put that in an endowment and invest it and make that to where that scholarship took care of Stevon Smith Sr., which is why me and my wife have a scholarship for the football team, and also an academic scholarship for first-generation college attendance in the University of Utah. So we have two scholarships, one academic and one athletic. Well, without doing that, if I don't do it, then what about the person who did it for me? So that's why, I believe it's what I experienced, and then when I got out, I didn't get out and become selfish and stingy. I said, you know what? I'm going to do the same thing someone did for me. Just give me a hope, give me a dream, give me an opportunity.
You know, like what I do is a job I take really seriously. And I treat this like a job, and I'm competitive about this, but I know it's not a real job per se, right? I mean, it's business, and it's a job, yeah. But there are people, Steve, who do truly backbreaking shit, and this is not it. Like, I know that, and I appreciate that. I've tried other jobs, man. They're hard. Like, I've always felt that year that I spent as a 16-year-old working at In-N-Out Burger on Ventura Boulevard in Woodland Hills, man, without that, I'm not sure I'm here. I learned so much in that year because I tried really hard at that job and I sucked at that job. You worked at Taco Bell. Do you remember that very well? What was that like? Was that time well spent for you?
So here's a funny thing. Every time I go to LA, and when I say every time, I mean every time. At some point in the drive, I take the same bus route that I took. Now, I may not take the whole bus route, but let's say, like, I know downtown is different now compared to when it was. And I was at I watched when the 49ers beat the Green Bay Packers. I watched the game with one of my boys downtown. So you know what we did? After I got off work in Culver City, I drove, you know, I packed up because I was leaving that night. I was catching a red eye. So I packed up, watched the game. So when I packed up, we drove Wilshire Boulevard. And I remember the 7-Eleven over there by University High School. And I remember I used to take that 7-Eleven, go in that 7-Eleven. We get Doritos, put the nasty chili in there. And then I'll get a Big Gulp that was soda, and we put a Slurpee in there. I remember that was 2:15, right? I remember that smile. I remember those people. Now it's a whole bunch of tents where you should be a person standing there with a sign underneath the 405 over there by UCLA. I remember I used to grow up. We used to go to UCLA. I used to, unfortunately, walk through that Taco Bell and grab a free one because, you know, acting like we were college students. I remember going past the Tar Museum. I remember looking at those houses in Beverly Hills when I'm on Wilshire going over there. I remember, like, I wonder what it's like. Would I ever see a celebrity? I remember Rodeo Drive, all these places. Man, I remember, and so I drive that in a rental car that NFL Network pays for. It resets my mind. every time I go back home, I get a reset. And then now, both of my parents or grandparents, who are like my folks that raised me, they pass. But I always go on 126 in Avalon, 349, 126 in Avalon. And I go and I drive past that house. Now, the lady, Miss Lady, who was our next door neighbor, who had a pomegranate tree. Now the family that's in there, that have been there forever, Angel, I see them. They always say hello. They call me Steve-on. Hey, Steve-on, we saw you on TV, man. It's good to see you. I always go back. And till this day, even though that's not my grandparents' house, they were there from 1965 till 2008. I go back and I just sit there, man. And I remember I used to play in the front yard. And those things remind me, and I don't ever forget them because it is programmed in my mind. 2-3 years ago for Father's Day, what did I do? My wife asked me, what do you want to do for Father's Day? We went for, as a dad, my wife was there, but I got to take a picture in front of Dodger Stadium with my kids. And that's on my desk till this day in my office. And it reminds me because the only baseball game I went to was with my dad. And so now it's 2 generations, 3 generations of watching the Dodgers play, but I'm watching as a present father. Those are the reset buttons for me, man. Those are the things that they don't fuel me. They make me. They make me say, who are you? I know my identity. I know who God has made me, so I'm not going to shortchange it. I'm not going to pussyfoot around. I'm not going to tiptoe. I'm going to be me, and if you don't like it, go kick rocks. But at the end of it, you better come at me correct because that's what's in me. That's embedded in me. And it just, when I go back home, it recharges me. It recharges me to wake up and hit the ground running.
I think we'd all agree, content is king, right? Well, check this out. Peacock is the new streaming service from NBC Universal. Great entertainment is finally free. Peacock has live sports, daily highlights, timely docuseries, and exclusive access to Premier League action. As an example, 2020 and 2021 Premier League season with over 175 exclusive matches, which are going to be live streamed on Peacock. And exclusive streaming destination of the 2021 Olympics. Real stories, beautifully told documentaries that tell the otherwise untold stories of grit, perseverance, and triumph behind the athletes we love. That's the kind of content you need. That's the kind of content you want. It is the best of streaming. It is the best of TV. You can watch it for free and upgrade for more on your TV, your tablet, or your phone. Just go to peacocktv.com and download and start streaming right now. Good content. peacocktv.com. That's peacocktv.com. So, Steve, let me finally ask you this. And, man, I appreciate you so much. I could do this for hours with you. It's just so interesting to me. But I'm curious, when you grow up the way that you did, in that neighborhood, and you know how fierce it is, and you know how important it is to have people support you, and I know you would tell me that you would not be where you are right now. You and I would not have this conversation if there weren't people who did support you and believe in you. Yep. When you're trying that hard, though, to get beyond that so you can take care of your own, you don't want to forget where you're from, and obviously you're not. But when you're trying to get out, and then when you do make it out, what is your responsibility to those who are still there and those who might say, hey, listen now, you wouldn't have made it out if we didn't help you?
That's a great question because there are some people that's back home that I just don't fool with.
Right.
Right. And they have they're upset about that. But at the end of the day, there are some friends and there are some folks and family that and I can't, what they're doing, and the father and the husband I am and a man, I can't associate with that. I can't be around that. Like if you doing some things that are, you know, as they say, birds of a feather flock together. So if being associated with you ultimately gets me put in jail because I'm hanging around you at the wrong time. Like, you know, I can't be in a car with you if you got a loaded gun and a kilo full of drugs in a trunk. Bro, I'm sorry. Right? And if you calling me you know, I'm acting brand new, or, you know, whatever the slang is for that. Like, sorry. Like, I can't explain to my wife, hey, babe, you know, we've got this great life, but yeah, I just wanted to be hood. So, you know, I fucked up our life. So, hey, we'll be okay, though. Like, that doesn't work.
Right.
Right? You get no do-overs. Right? And what example am I to my children if I'm telling them one thing and I'm bullshitting and backsliding, you know, behind their back? So there are some friends that I can't do it. But then at the same time, right, if we weren't friends, if we weren't tight, when I was slanging tacos at Taco Bell, some of my buddies used to joke around. Man, you work at Taco Bell, shut up, bro. Like, if you joking with me when we eating oodles and noodles, and now I can buy the company oodles and noodles, then we ain't tight.
Right.
Bottom line, when we were broke, we wasn't cool. Just because I got some money, we ain't cool now. Now, what will happen at times gets me in trouble is, don't let the nice car fool you now. Because if I get out and I take my hat off, I'm not taking it off because I want to let my hair fly because I'm bald headed. I'm taking it out because it's not going to end well for somebody, and I'm betting on me. So I really try not to put myself in those positions, but at the same time, you know, I got some dudes that I've been cool with. When I had the oodles and noodles, when I was a nobody, when I was just a hothead, when I was a nobody. That I got buddies that I've been friends with since the ninth grade. I got dudes I've been friends with since we was one of my best friends out there, Jesse Barfield. We're second generations. Our dads used to run the streets and do dope together.
Wow.
And me and him are still friends. I was the best man at his wedding. So I got some folks that I'm tight, thick as thieves with, some dudes that I know at the end of the day that if they call me today, I call them and say, look, man, this dude did this, and we need to go ride and handle it. I got some dudes like that. And I'm not saying that in a bragging way. I'm just saying that our friendship has gone beyond football. We've been friends for years, right? We slept in the same bed, and our moms were friends head to toe, feet to head to toe, right? Because that's how poor we were, you know, but. So now these friends are, you know, I got guys that I call my brothers, and they call, and their kids call me Uncle Steve, and because we ain't uncles, I ain't their real blood, but we've been together for 15 plus years.
That's so interesting because, like, my wife, Steve, Janet, she went to Long Beach Poly, and she was classmates with Tony Gwynn. You know, Polly's a football powerhouse, yep. As you know. But my wife is super strong on family. So she's got our kids calling a bunch of people aunt and uncle that are not blood. But and I kind of sometimes say to my boys, like, how you feel about that, man? How's that taste? That ain't your uncle. But when you lay it out like that, that's exactly what she would say. Like, of course they're not blood, man. That's not the point. It's what they represent. It's how we came up. It's how close we are. It's what we went through. It's not about the blood per se.
Nah, man, I got a guy, lives here in Charlotte, and his three kids, Trey, Deja, and his youngest is Moki. All three of them graduated. You know what? I go to their graduation. I'm there, only there till they call their name, and then I'm out. Because, you know, it's kind of a little difficult, but I go to their graduation, right? There are people in here, they're like, that's your uncle? I got some dudes that I'm tight with that white guys, and they're like, Uncle Steve, your uncle's black, right? And tattoos. His name is Lawson. One of my good buddies, Derek Copeland, his son is his name is Lawson. Now, you know, black folks, we got nicknames. So I call him Law Dog. I nicknamed him Law Dog, day he was born. Law Dog has a baseball game here in Charlotte. Law Dog, my uncle there, they look and they're like, your uncle is Steve Smith. No, that's my Uncle Steve. That's just how it is, man. I mean, I'm one of those guys if we type, like Jim Rohn, I love your show. I've been listening to you since I was in Utah when I used to have to dial the AM to just get it right so I can hear you clearly. I rocks with Jim Rohn. So when Jim Rohn come calling, I make sure I have my schedule so I can support Jim Rohn. That's how I look at it. Loyalty for me is everything.
Dude, I know this, and I appreciate this. I've always appreciated this. I've always made the point, Steve, that like my job, I try not to get close to any of the guys because I got a job to do, right? Like, it's always hard for me. Like, if an athlete, an NFL player would always avail himself to me, I always appreciated that. Like, I need that relationship. I need that content. I need that. But then if a guy did something really stupid and I had to do my job, it always made it harder, you know? So I had to have, like, a little separation. I'll give you an example. Like, back in the day, a guy that I loved that would come on the show that I had a really good relationship was Mark Chmura. So then Mark Chmura goes Mark Chmura, and then I got to go. I'm like, fuck. I mean, anybody but this guy. Now I have to do my job, and it was always hard. So I've always made this point that I can't play favorites, man. I can't be a fanboy. I got to be objective. I have a job to do. But the fact of the matter is there are guys that I gravitate to. I always had this unbelievable respect and appreciation for you, and I always understood that, I don't know, dude. I had to work hard to get that because I can understand where somebody like you might not have a lot of time for the media. I understand where a lot of athletes have no time for the media, right? Like, what the fuck do we know? I guess this is my way of saying, dude, I appreciate you greatly.
I appreciate you.
And the relationship, man. I know you made time. And how about us having a conversation like that that not only is one of the best ever, I'm not sure we talk football, and maybe that's why it was the best ever. So I appreciate you so much, man.
I could tell you this. I get it because I was a Mark Chmura fan too. It's kind of really tough what he did, but I can tell you this. I may do some dumb stuff, but that won't be it. Now, you may read about when I was younger, you know, me bopping somebody. But kind of in that area, I get it and I respect it. Me being in the media too, you have to be able to call it like it is. But I've also learned when you do call it like it is, but you also, you know, develop relationships, you are able to maybe say it in a way that's less harsh. And I know you, there's some things out there in my career that you're like, you call it like you see it, but you also know me as a person, you know. So I always respect you for it. I always love doing your shows. I listen to your product. So, man, you're real talk. You have a great product, Jim, and you should be proud of it because when you say Jim Rohn, everybody's like, really? You know, so I've always admired what you've built and how you do it, which is unique.
Man, it means the world to me, Steve. It honestly does. It really means the world to me that you would say something like that to me on this podcast and that you and I have that kind of relationship, and I agree with everything you just said. And, you know, we all change. We all evolve. Nobody stays the same. You got to get better. And I appreciate that. And you, and your podcast, and your brand, and your approach, and your life overall, my man. Thank you for everything.
Appreciate.
Thanks for this conversation. Be good, be safe, and I know we'll do it again soon.
Absolutely.
So let me take a moment and tell you about my pals over at Goodies. Goodies understands that you cannot afford to let a hangover slow you down. And for a hangover that is really tough, you need real medicine. Goodies Hangover is more than just the natural supplements that you've seen before for treating hangovers. With a history rooted in analgesics and putting an end to tough pain, Goodies Hangover has the right formula to stop the pain quickly and to provide a boost of alertness. So now you can have that fun night without worrying about the next morning. Goodies Hangover, real medicine for real hangovers, fast relief with a boost of alertness. It is so good in relieving minor aches and pains due to the hangover, the headache, the muscle aches. It helps to restore mental alertness when experiencing fatigue or drowsiness, which is associated with a hangover. And it comes in a tasty berry citrus boost flavor. Goodies Hangover. It's available at Amazon, in Walmart, and at your local convenience store. Hey, what did I tell you? How different and unexpected was that? How awesome was that? My thanks to Steve Smith Sr. for that amazing conversation. One of my all-time favorites with him, without any question. And I'm already looking forward to the next one that we can do as well. Don't forget to catch my guy on NFL Network every Thursday on NFL Game Day Kickoff at 6 p.m. Eastern, right before Thursday Night Football. While you're here, please get subscribed and all future conversations will automatically download right to your device. I will catch you in exactly 7 days with some new, fresh content. But until then, here are your voicemails.
First new message.
Hey, Romy, it's Robin, your favorite flight attendant and chief fan from St. Pete, man. Hey, so we're finally back down to earth from the Super Bowl. Wanted to tell you, like, when I was in high school, Romy, I hit both my parents' cars backing out of the driveway. Had to go inside. It's early in the morning. They're both in the same bed. I know you did it, you got away with it, you could just drive away, but that's a stressor, let me tell you. Hey, really like podcast number 129, Bill Winnington. Super cool. Loved it. Hope you're well, Romy. Ward Lady Clones. Love you, man.
Message saved. Next message.
So, Brother Rome, my name is Fabian. I'm from L.A., a.k.a. Flamian. Hey, Doggy Dog. So anyways, the jungle, I use it for everything, right? I use it for good luck, for this, for that. Hey, came through again. This time I didn't need elk or you or this or that. I was just like, just doing my thing, the whole deal. The deal is this. Right now I'm trying to get in the program and let you know what's popping. So if anything, never mind, dude. It's 11 o'clock in the morning and I'm fucked up. And I'm not Fabian. I'm his alter ego. Hey, I was hoping you'd pick up, eh? Last time you and I had a good chat, but hey, fuck it.
Message deleted. Next message.
I don't really need to hear these Padres fans getting all excited about creeping up on the Dodgers in the regular season. They will always be the little bitch, the little engine that could. They might as well share a stadium with the Dodgers like the Clippers and Lakers do, like the Rams and Chargers do. It's nice to have a little tenant that pays rent.
Message saved. Next message.
Hey, Rome, Slow Rome in Houston here. I'm just going to tell you that my truck is busy pooping a peach seed because my bow shaft's bent, my crankshaft's bent, and my axles are bent because I'm too damn drunk to drive my damn truck. So, you know, if you're going to poop a peach seed, make sure you have wipes.
Message deleted. Next message.
Romy, Pete from Phoenix. Buddy, I just got a fresh flag for my semi-luxury sled, and it is flying high. We are loving our Cardinals. Thanks for all the jungle karma this summer, having our boys on. And I am loving our Metro dressed in black coach, Cliff with a K. And then also a memo to Jimmy G, stick to chasing the porn stars because you suck at quarterbacking. War the Redbirds and war lacrosse. I'm out.
Message saved. Next message.
What up? It's your boy Matt in L.A. Hey, that Jeff Pearlman interview, priceless. I love hearing Shaq and Kobe era, J.R. freaking Ryder, Mark freaking Madsen, Stanford alum, and L.A. legend. Keep it coming. Noah Romy, let's get a deep dive on that podcast with the tinted, teepeed one. Phil Jackson, it's about time. Outro.
Message saved. You have no more messages.